If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is Bashard Smith, and you're listening to Watch the Watch.
Ladies and gentlemen, citizens of the universe, this is Roster Watch. My name is Alex Dunlap, here with Cody Carpentier for the Week 8 Fantasy Football Preview Edition of the epic Roster Watch podcast. So pumped to be here with you. So pumped to have a big Week 8 ahead of us. Cody, National Tight Ends Day, as we're going to get through here, an all business edition of the show, an old school edition where we'll go game by game through the main slate, talking you through some of our favorite plays, what we're looking at from a fantasy angle, from a DFS angle, from a player props betting angle. And speaking of player props, I wanted to show you the new Roster Watch Hyper Picks pro lineup generator here. I'll share it on the screen and show you this tool. Our premium members can use this deal, and it's real easy. It's tied into our player prop cheat sheet. So what you do is you just go here, and if you're listening on podcasts, I can tell you what I'm doing here. I'm picking a number of plays that I want for like underdog or prize picks or a single game parlay type of thing over on DraftKings or wherever you place your player props. Let's say I want like four of them, right? I'll click on four there, then I'll go to generate, and look what it gives me. It gives me Bijan Robinson to go over 18.5 first quarter rushing yards, CeeDee Lamb over 15.5 PPR fantasy points, DK Metcalf over 10.5 first quarter receiving yards, and Tyler Warren over 11.5 first quarter receiving yards. All plays that are part of our premium suite of tools over at the player prop cheat sheet, and all this is tied right into it. Happy to tell you that just last week we hit at, what was that, Cody, like 71%? I think we're sitting at close to 56% for the year after hitting it 60.4% for all of 2024. So you get that with a premium membership at rosterwatch.com. Just a little bit more expensive than the pro membership. And you get all the pro membership stuff, plus you get the betting tools and some of the stuff that we'll mention here whenever we're going through some of these matchups. And, of course, the epic, maniacal the hyper picks and the player prop cheat sheet that have been very successful so far this season. Cody, let's just go through these games. You about ready to knock it out, brother?
Yeah, I was just going to say, I you brought up National Tight Ends Day, and I just wanted to shove this in and say that it's kind of unfortunate that they put this on a weekend that has buys, because there's no McBride, there's no Laporta, there's no Bowers to celebrate and to, you know, shove into a touchdown parlay or something. But
You know who invented National Tight Ends Day?
Yeah, George Kittle and
Brent Celek. Kittle got a donut last week.
He's not getting a donut this week.
I'm just
that's
saying.
A promise.
Yeah, if you got Kittle, man, make sure and get him in. Let's start out with the Miami Dolphins and the Atlanta Falcons. We'll just talk through some of these. The Falcons are 7.5-point favorites. Looking here at the premium download section and on the game odds screen here at Roster Watch Premium, we have the Atlanta Falcons getting 76% of the bets and 69% of the money. The over-under sitting at 44.5. 56% of the tickets are on the over here. Only 30% of the money, so a little bit of a sharp lean here towards the under in this football game. I think that the main thing here is, Cody, for one, Miami Dolphins look like they're folding up shop. The Atlanta Falcons defense has been very good. I think the most picked up defense this week across the major sites like Yahoo, Sleeper, all the rest of them, as far as a streaming defense. I think that's a good pickup this week. Of course, if you have like Devon Achane, you're going to be playing him. Waddle was on the injury report But I think that all indications were that he was going to be able to go this week, but certainly keep an eye on that one. As far as the Falcons side, interestingly, man, Tyler Allgeier comes into this thing questionable after after spending a week on the injury report, and that's with two separate injuries. So, look, Bijan Robinson is an absolute smash this week, whether you're playing DFS or, of course, you're getting him in your regular lineup. But I do think that in DFS, he becomes like the priority, even over like Jonathan Taylor and Christian McCaffrey this week, if there is no Tyler Allgeier in this spot. I wonder what you think, Cody, about Drake London. It feels like ever since Darnell Mooney has been back, or I guess in the game that we've had Darnell Mooney back, it was like all the targets got funneled to Kyle Pitts. I think you're safe playing most of your Atlanta guys here in a great matchup versus Miami. How do you see the action playing out here in this one?
Yeah, love London. The one question I guess going into it is you're looking at this hamstring that popped up on Thursday with Jalen Waddle. Of course, no Darren Waller. So we'll see where the targets kind of go in this situation. I kind of anticipate this thing being kind of messy on that side of the ball. It's been messy for the majority of the year. You look at Malik Washington getting more snaps, more opportunities, but what's that going to do for you? He had 8 fantasy points last week, but if there's no Waddle, I do anticipate that being quite an uptick and us getting some value out of Malik Washington there. The biggest discrepancy in the rankings this week is at the tight end position that we brought up a second ago. It looks like at the tight end position, Trashman forgot that it's National Tight End Week. He's not as big of a fan of Kyle Pitts as we are. But I do like Kyle Pitts. I thought he looked good last week, and Penix targeted him in some kind of crucial spots across the center of the field. I like him. I like London. I think as long as his offense, it felt like the first month of the season, like I guess specifically that Minnesota week, they played Minnesota back to back to back with, who'd they play before and after Minnesota? It was a mess. Carolina, and then the Washington game, and then they went into that bye week, and it seems like it's been more consistent the last 2 weeks, but it was very hit or miss. I like it. When you're all healthy and you got Bijan, as long as Penix is healthy, Penix kind of popped up on the injury report as well this week. As long as everyone's healthy, I kind of just trust the big three. I trust London, I trust Pitts, and I trust Bijan. The Miami side, I kind of just want to stay away. I'll play Waddle. I think Malik Washington's going to – with Waller out, I'll be interested to see kind of what direction the targets go here. If it's this Nick Westbrook-Ikhine thing, or if it's a Malik Washington, or where. But I think you may be able to get a little bit of value over one of these two guys if you need it.
The Chicago Bears travel to the Baltimore Ravens. The Ravens are 6.5-point favorites here at home. 56% of the tickets are on the Bears, only 34% of the money. So a little bit of a sharp lean here to the Ravens, -6.5. I think that's the side that I like better as well. On my Circa Millions entry that I have with my buddy Siege, we went 5-0 last week, and Siege has actually been on a little bit of a heater with some of his picks. He's saying that just the lock of the week is the Ravens -6.5, because what the sports books are telling us here with this 49.5-point total is that, and the 6.5-point line for the Ravens, is telling us what we've all been expecting, is that Lamar Jackson's going to be coming back here for this. I believe this one win, is this a one win Ravens team or a two win Ravens?
This is a one win.
So
one win Raven team against the Browns when they just schlacked them. And that was Lamar Jackson, 4 touchdown game.
Yeah. And so like they have to get their house in order. They're going to have to make a big, big run here for the playoffs. They come back relatively healthy. I think this is a time, if you've been frustrated with Derrick Henry, just get him back in, get Zay Flowers back in on DraftKings, dude. Derrick Henry is 6,000 this week. Zay Flowers is 5,400 this week, and you're getting a returning from injury discount on Lamar Jackson at 6,800 this week. And I think that all the Ravens here are very good. Looks like Isaiah likely will be back, but Mark Andrews likely. I think that the tight end is maybe fine too. And I think in these kinds of games, you can even take shots in the super deep 12 team leagues where you have to start two flexes. Like maybe could you get in a Bateman or something, Cody? And then on the Bears, do we know for sure yet about Cole Kmet?
Cole Kmet's officially out with the back injury.
Okay. So Cole Kmet's back
as well as Roshan.
So Cole Kmet is not back. He's out with the back injury. Yep. Can they finally start doing something with Colston Loveland? Because Tyler Warren's starting to make this whole decision look really bad to take that guy. And then can you trust DeAndre Swift to continue doing what he's been doing? Can you play Kyle Manungai in a pinch? Is this defense, you know, the defense is going to be healthier that for the Ravens. They haven't gotten everybody back, but it's, you know, they're going to be healthier. They're coming out of the bye. They're going to have to be playing better. I'm not sure it's going to be the absolute fantasy smash fest against the Ravens moving forward that it had been to start the season.
What's the matchup on the roster matchup tool for running backs?
So for the running backs, it's the number two matchup of the week for Caleb Williams, the number five matchup of the week for Swift and Manungai, the number two matchup for Rome and for,
sorry, I was asking the opposite. It's fine. I was asking for Henry.
For the Ravens?
Yeah, yeah. So it's number seven.
It's the number seven matchup of the week.
Yeah, my bad on that. I think that this thing is it's a lot. I think this aligns for I'm with Siege, which is interesting because I feel like last year I was completely against it. But I do think this is kind of like the quintessential kind of back against the wall, coming out of the bye. The worst is behind you. Lamar's back, but Lamar's not quite 100. And you look at that bear side of things, and you're down Cole Kmet, you're down Roshan, which Roshan hasn't done a lot because Manungai's been there. Braxton Jones is out. Both your corners, Kyler Gordon and Tyreek Stevenson, have been banged up this year. They're both out in this one. This, to me, feels like one where you just go, hey, big dog, you're going to get us right here, and Derrick Henry's going to be a smash. And you look at the way the schedule unfolds. Now, it's been rough the last couple of weeks, and it hasn't exactly been the best teams in football for the Ravens. But you got the next 5 weeks, Bears, which have been hot. But, I mean, you've been hot against the Saints and the Raiders, right? Now you got Bears, Dolphins, Vikings, back to the Browns, who you already smashed, Jets, Bengals, your next six. You can get right really quick here. I think it all begins with a big run game here. And you brought up Rashad Bateman. I think Bateman's interesting. I think he won like Walter Payton Man of the Week or something like this the last week for off-field stuff. So not that that matters for on-field, but to me, this game circles right around just getting Lamar in the game and out of the game healthy and really all the way around Derrick Henry for the Ravens side of things. I probably would generally, like in the DFS side of things, stay away from the receivers and probably the tight ends as well. I think this thing zeroes in on the run game. And then for the Bears side, I think you trust Swift. Manungai's going to get his normal workload that he's been getting and kind of growing the last couple of weeks. I've seen some off-field stuff where it seems like he's growing in the locker room too, as like a locker room guy that they like. And I do think the Loveland side of the conversation does continue to grow now that the opportunity is going to be there without Kmet this week. You look at last week, he had a 63% of the routes, which was his season best. He had 5.4 fantasy points. So I think that's going to take another upstick, or maybe get him ahead of 70% of the routes and some real opportunities like we got from Burden earlier this year.
Cody and I have a new Elite Spice Blend that we're selling. It's called the Alpha. It's the Elite Spice Blend, and it has no seed oils, no MSG. It is delicious. We keep selling out of this stuff. It's alphaseasoning.com is where you can go to get it. All the best ingredients. Cody and I spent about a year putting this thing together, testing it out on steaks, burger, chicken wings, quail, dove, salmon fillets, fish. It's like a do it all seasoning that you can put on anything. Like you can put it on mac and cheese or popcorn or anything like that. And right now we have a sale going on with the promo code SPOOKY20 through Halloween, where you get 20% off by just putting in that code. We would appreciate you checking it out. Scan that QR code or go to alphaseasoning.com. Cody, we vouch for it that this is the best seasoning that man has ever seen.
This is the best seasoning that man has ever seen because you can use it on everything. Literally, I use it on everything. Today, I used it on some chopped chicken on top of my rice. I don't eat chicken all the time, but I do love chicken with the Alpha Elite. I use it on hamburgers. I've used it on ribeyes. I put it on edamame, which sounds bizarre, but you know, edamame in the pod instead of salt. On popcorn, potatoes, like you name it, you can use Alpha on it. My wife loves it, so that's always a plus when the wife loves it. Not just a couple of meatheads telling you it's good. If the wife tells you it's good, you got to trust it.
Not too spicy. My kids are wusses about spice, and they love Alpha. So check it out, alphaseasoning.com. Support your boys and support our little spice business here. All right. Back to our other business, Cody, which is of course Roster Watch, and let's get to the next game. We have the I mean, Buffalo at Carolina, is there that? I guess there is a lot to talk to here because we get so many questions about should I start Shakir? Or should, you know, what do we make of the whole Chuba Hubbard, Rico Dowdle split? I've had sort of a little bit of trouble with parsing that stuff out whenever we have been kind of putting together our rankings and sort of seeing what that's like versus the model this week, only because Buffalo presents on the roster watch matchup tool for our pro members, the number six matchup for opposing running backs this week. So if it were just Dowdle again, I would be all the way back in, but it felt like Chuba last week a little bit too much run, almost I dare say looking almost kind of like back to being the, can we say kind of back to being kind of the, at least looking like a guy that they treated a little bit more like the, a little bit more like the one. Did that, was that the way it seemed to you? I know it was what, 54% of the snaps that he had compared to 46 for Rico Dowdle, but correct me if I'm wrong. Even though Dowdle ended up out touching him and out producing him, I think Chuba was in there. I think I remember seeing Chuba in there first.
Chuba was, and I didn't take the bet last week.
Oh, you, yeah, you should have. How do you see the fantasy action playing out here in this one?
I don't know. I think the split is interesting. I think I'm going to play the coward game and just kind of like have them back to back, and which is the same thing I did last week. I'm going to have Chuba one spot ahead. I don't think it's a good matchup. Like, there's no Bryce. We're going to get Andy Dalton here, which generally would say it's going to be a competent, you know, you would trust it because I think Andy Dalton's competent enough, but I think you got Buffalo coming off of a bye. I don't love the situation here. And as far as game flow goes, I think it's going to be more fighting back, and you can see how Buffalo can get ahead in these games like this. And it's all of a sudden 24-0 or 24-7, and it's a lot of pass happy downs, which leads you to more Rico, because Rico last week, when you look at the routes run, Chuba ran 47%, and we had Rico Dowdle in for 74% of the routes. I read that wrong. I was off on that, actually. I read the wrong week. That was the week before. Chuba was in for 47%. Rico was in for 25%, so that would lead me back to Chuba. Again, still riding the pine. I don't really have a – do you have a full pulse on this thing? I kind of just feel like it's Chuba.
I truly don't. I don't.
I kind of just feel like I want to trust Chuba because, again, it's the same theory as last week. Like, he's just the guy that they have gave the money to, and, like, that's their guy. Rico's very good, but
– here's the thing. It's a Bimageddon of a week. I doubt you have both of them. If you're planning on playing the one that you have on your roster and you have to play him, it's fine to play him. I wouldn't be super excited about playing either one. I mean,
I
don't think there's anybody out there that's having to make a choice.
Are you playing? You're not playing Kyle Manunga ahead of him.
No,
you can't do Trayvon Henderson yet. I'm just trying to look at the guys like around that area that like you could tell yourself a story for. Like, I think that you're just gonna. I think you can trust them both to get double-digit fantasy points.
What if Tyler Allgeier plays? Could you maybe play him? I mean,
yeah, I think you got to play Allgeier ahead of him.
Yeah, it's tough though. I mean,
if I know Allgeier's 100, I'd probably play Allgeier ahead of Rico more than Chuba, but it would be like sandwich. It'd be like an Oreo between them.
Would you play Tyler Allgeier over Wandale Robinson?
No.
Yeah, I don't think I would either. I'm just thinking about one of my dynasty teams.
Okay. Andy Dalton's not worth, like, even if this game flow, like, you can tell yourself a story, right? The game flow goes negative. You know, we've seen Xavier Legette start to eat a little bit. He had a 9-catch game the other day. Ted Aroa, like, they're getting tight ends healthy. Like, you get a good game script situation here. Is there any avenue? I know we don't have him ranked aggressively, but I just know that there's these cockamamie questions that do come in on Sunday morning, and it's like, well, I literally have gotten a bunch of them last week. It was like Mac Jones, Tua, and like Rattler. And you're like, gosh, that sucks. But like Andy Dalton, like, could you tell yourself a story to get him up to that Penix or Rodgers area?
I would play Penix and Rodgers easily over Dalton. Yeah.
Okay.
And I'm having to. I would, if I could, if my ultimate what I would like to do in that situation is just be able to play Flacco. But it feels like Flacco got picked up a bunch this week.
Yeah.
In leagues where you have one of these, you know, one of these quarterbacks who's out.
Flacco in a tiny revenge spot too.
Yeah, a little bit. let's go to the next one here. Did we already talk about Jets at Bengals?
We can skim through it quick.
We can skim through it. Bengals here, 6-point favorites. At home, we have the Jets getting 22% of the tickets, 18% of the – so 18% of the money. Everybody is on the Bengals here. All the cash is on the Bengals here in this 44.5 total. But the sports books are not moving this thing. They're not – gosh, it's like on DraftKings, it's even down to -6, wherever it was at -6.5 before. Almost a little bit of reverse line movement there. I'm not sure what that's supposed to mean, whether they might know something about maybe Tyrod Taylor, whether he's not going to be able to go, whether it's Justin Fields, et cetera. We know no Garrett Wilson in this game, no Sauce Gardner in this game. So obviously, you know, like I think if you have Chase Brown and you've been angry with him, just play him. Of course you play T. Higgins. Of course you play Ja'Marr Chase. On the Jets side of things, I know that you've been frustrated with Breece Hall and he might get traded or whatever else, but if there was ever a spot for him to pop off, I know that all the optimizers and stuff said it was going to be last week. I personally think that it would be this week. How do you see things playing out here, Cody?
How awesome has it been like that we got the savior in Joe Flacco for the Ja'Marr Chase situation of the world? Like that, this thing is just the rebound.
We were hoping for a Jameis Winston, and it's almost like the Flacco thing has been
kind of better.
Yeah.
Kind of better. The line is interesting here. I think generally I would jump and go, oh, that's easy. I love Cincy here. But you look at the last 2 weeks, I know the Jets haven't played like the toughest competition in Carolina, and Denver was the week before. They only gave up 13 points in each of those two games. Like I think the Jets have a good defense, which I think they have a competent defense when they want to play. I just wonder how tight this thing gets a little bit.
Secondary is really bad without Sauce.
Yeah, but that what do the Bengals struggle with up front, right? And that's where the Jets kind of have a strength is their front. I would say 4 to 6. But yeah, I think you got the receivers. You're not going to bench the receivers with this question mark. Obviously, you have the back end. Kind of disappointment of the year, man. What do you even do with Chase Brown at this point? Can you
play him this week and then hope maybe he has another decent week and you could sell him high. Like, dude, he had 108 yards last week. He's only had one touchdown all season. And that was in week one. I think I shouldn't be saying that without checking, but I think that that's right.
Chase Brown or Chuba Hubbard?
Chase Brown. 100%.
Really? I put Chuba ahead of him.
No, you can't do that. Versus the Jets.
This guy hasn't – I mean, he had 12 points last week. That was the most since week one.
Yeah, but he gets in for a touchdown, and you think about it totally differently. He gets a little bit more receiving volume. I think he had 108 yards on the ground.
You just said – respectfully, you literally just said he just got in for the – he has one touchdown.
Well, is that even right?
I don't even know if that's right.
I think he scored in week one.
He has one touchdown in week one, yeah.
Yeah. So,
I mean, like, how am I going to trust him? He's in 7 weeks. He's got one touchdown. I'm not going to bank on him scoring a touchdown on this thing.
It just feels like all these Bengals are trending in the right direction. And I just don't view Samaje Perine as the same threat to his touches in a great matchup that I do with Samaje Perine.
He hasn't had more than 11 carries last week was the most he's had since week two. I don't know. I'm not there yet. I know he had a good week against the Steelers. Steelers have had a bad run game or bad run defense majority of the year. I'm not
thrilled to play the guy. I would just play him over Chuba Hubbard.
I'm playing Chuba, and I think I'm going to play Rico over him.
My mornings are chaos. I need coffee that works as hard as I do. That's why I drink Everyday Dose, coffee with benefits. It's rich, delicious coffee boosted with mushrooms, collagen, and nootropics. Everything I need for focus and balance, ready in 30 seconds. The Black Friday sale is on. Get 61% off your first coffee plus starter kit, a free A2 probiotic creamer, and over $100 in free gifts. Plus, enter for a chance to win $100 cash or get your entire order refunded. Visit everydaydose.com/podcast or use code podcast at checkout.
Okay. All right. Well, you do.
That's
you.
Tight. That's, I mean, that's where we're kind of, I mean, Trashman is a 15th overall play. You're kind of right between us.
15 feels definitely high.
Yeah. I have Rico ahead of him, Ja'Cory Krosky and Pollard. Pollard's in a terrible matchup, but I still feel better about Pollard.
I was thinking about taking Pollard under 48 and a half rushing yards.
Probably a good bet.
Because I think this would be more of a Spears game for him. Let's go to the next one here. We'll be able to blast through this one. San Francisco at the Texans. We have the Texans here is 1.5 point. No,
this thing smells.
On FanDuel, now it's San Francisco plus 2.5?
This thing smells.
So on the circ, you think it smells like a trap?
I don't get it. I don't understand.
86% of the money is on San Francisco plus the points, 86% of the bets, 89% of the money, a 41.5 total in this game. CJ Stroud at home, D'Amico Ryans against all the coaches that he used to be with there with the 49ers. You have National Tight Ends Day for George Kittle. You have Christian McCaffrey facing what's a tough matchup, but he's been completely matchup proof so far this season. Juwan Jennings is playing through a million different injuries and a bunch of cracked ribs. It doesn't look like Ricky Pearsall is going to be back this week. Kendrick Bourne, a lot of the shine off of him, and now he goes into a super tough matchup. As far as the Texans, how comfortable are we now with no Nico Collins, no Christian Kirk, possibly getting in Jalen Noel, who had 7 targets last week, operating predominantly out of the slot? Out of all the Iowa State Cyclones they have on that team, and I believe they have 3 in the wide receiver core between Xavier Hutchinson and Jaden Higgins and Jalen Noel. Which one do you feel most comfortable with, and how do you see the action playing out here in this one? Oh, and also, what about Woody Marks? Is he he's already a much better play than Nick Chubb. Trashman was saying on the waiver wire show that he's comfortable dropping Chubb at this point.
I mean, yeah, Chubb's splits have went downhill quick. He peaked at 52% of the snaps in week 2, down to 51%, 40, 35, had the bye, 26% in this past week. So he's pretty much – I think he's pretty much toast, which is – he's kind of, I guess, going the way of Dalvin Cook a couple years ago, where he got in, boom, it was all of a sudden, he just disappeared. That's kind of where he's at right now. And Woody Marks up to 61% this past week. I think Woody Marks probably belongs ahead of all those guys that we've talked about in the previous couple of segments. Wide receiver for Houston, I feel best about Jalen Noel. I wanted to talk about this. I put it in the waiver wire cheat sheet earlier this week, but I kind of feel like he's the – I don't know. I feel like a weird deja vu type of situation, because I remember having like conversations about Jalen Noel and Jaden Higgins in the pre-draft, and you were ahead of me on them, and now I'm like way ahead on Jalen Noel this week, and I'm am I wrong here? Like, I put him as a back-end wide receiver 3. I have him 33rd overall.
I haven't updated my personal ranking on Noel, and have I taken the model ranking off of him since Nico Collins has been ruled out?
Let me look. The model is off of him, yeah. So he's currently for us just a touch ahead of Chris Moore and Xavier Hutchinson. Still behind Bateman.
I need to move up. I personally haven't accounted for no Nico yet. So I'll be moving up Noel on updates to the sheet. And also, if you guys have questions about the rankings, make sure and just come ask us. We have the live sit start thread on Sundays. I'll be in there this week just as soon as I get done with church. It'll be like probably 10 a.m. Cody Trashman should be around before then. But all the way up till lineup lock, like we answer all your questions on the whole sheet, whether it's me, Cody, Trashman, we answer your sit star questions and during the week in the pro threads, we try and get to as many as we can, helping you with your trades and your waiver pickups and stuff. Just another perk of being a pro member over at rosterwatch.com. If you need that boost to help your team win this week. And also if you're just trying to get into the pick'em streets and make some money here with the player props, which have been very successful once again so far this season.
Do you think Dalton Schultz might be the number one benefactor here in this whole thing with Kirk and Nico?
What did homeboy have last week? Like 12 targets?
I was going to say he had a massive week last week.
Yeah. I think at just 3,300 on DraftKings, I think he's going to be the most popular tight end play on the whole slate.
You'd prefer him over Noel if you had like to head up to pick between the two, like in a flex spot? He had last week. He had 10 targets, 9 for 98. Noel had 7 for 4 for 77.
Yeah, I mean, Noel's a G.
I know, and Noel feels like. I mean, I'm not going to say the comp you had for him, but if that comp is, if you got water in that comp, that's
Noel. Noel's a great player, dude. Wasn't my comp? I'm on Ross St. Brown.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Well, he's. I mean, he's that kind of play. I mean, he. That's his profile. That's what he looks like.
I got to move Schultz up. I got Schultz way too low this week.
All right. Let's get on. We have to power through these, Cody. Let's go to Cleveland at the Patriots. Cleveland 7-point underdogs in this game. 38% of the tickets are on Cleveland. 46% of the money. So most everybody here on New England in this spot -7. The Patriots just hate Travion Henderson. As a 7-point favorite, yeah, I think you got to play Ramondre, right? You don't have to play him, but I think if you have him, likely this is a week where you're going to play him. Travion should be playing it firmly on your bench. I'm not dropping him yet, but I'm not going to even try getting him in at this point. Looking for a little bit of a downturn here, I think, from Quinshon Judkins. I was telling somebody on the site just yesterday, he had a trade on the table to get Saquon Barkley for Quinshon and Tet McMillan, and the rest of his roster was very strong. He had I believe this roster also had Jonathan Taylor or something like that, and he wanted to just kind of consolidate those two. And I just said, yeah, well, that's exactly the kind of consolidation trade you should be making in weeks 8 through weeks 11 or so to make your starting roster better. But like, that's the ultimate sell high with Quinshon and buy low with Saquon.
Yep.
I think Quinshon maybe coming out of last week, he scored the 3 touchdowns, ran super pure, had one really good long run. But other than that, I believe his yards per carry was only 4-something yards per carry. So wasn't quite as good with the underlying metrics as it looked in the fantasy box score. How do you see the action playing out here?
I don't know if we're going to get Njoku or not. He's questionable with the knee. He's had limiteds all week. The target share the last couple of weeks, if there's no Njoku, the target share for Harold Fannin is kind of hard to ignore. 28% target share this past week. The week before that, it was 21%. Both season highs, of course. Fantasy points weren't quite there last week, but I think that bounces back this week if there's no Njoku. The Quinshon thing's a tough matchup. This should be the Ohio State running back bowl right here with Quinshon.
It should be, man.
Should be, but and also, I mean, we had Mike Vrabel work with the Browns the last couple of years and work at Ohio. Like, this is the ultimate spot, but I think we're going to get completely sat in the corner in the chair to watch if we do end up playing them again, which I don't want any part of. Kind of a just straight up bench situation. I mean, his snap share was a season low last week, 14%. Like, you can't play Travion. So this is, we're screwed either way here. We either bench him and he does something, or we play him and he does nothing. So I don't know the overall situation here. I'm generally, as far as the Patriots side of the conversation, I feel like I'm generally higher on Butte. I think consensus is much higher on Diggs than anything. But Butte's had a good stretch these last 3 weeks, and I kind of just feel that's the direction I think that this offense needs to lean and should lean. And I think where Drake May has leaned, he had 26 fantasy points week 6, 13.5 last week, 74-75% of the snaps. Diggs is good, but I mean, he had that one big pop off against the Bills, and he's kind of come back down to earth. So I'm much more heavy into Diggs. And then I think you also have Hunter Henry here, who, again, it's
national title. You're much more heavy into Booty than to Diggs, right?
Did I say that backwards? Yeah, that's what I meant to say, was Butte over Diggs. And then it's national title.
You have Booty straight up ranked over Diggs?
Yeah. I have Booty at 23, Diggs at 32.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm not sure that that's right.
What's wrong with it?
Well, I think that, I don't know. Like, I mean, Diggs is questionable this week, but it's just like, I mean, just look, if you just compare their, like, let me just, I mean, am I totally off here? Like,
I mean, their overall wide receiver 26 and wide receiver 29.
Let me just see here. So Booty versus Diggs, just on the season, it's the, with, I mean, Diggs is getting, what, 5.57 receptions per game. Booty's getting 2.86 receptions per game. The route percentage is about the same, 62% versus 69%. The target share, 22% versus 12%. Kayshon Booty's beating him in air yard share, 27% to 24%. Much better yards per route run, 2.87.2 versus 2.03. If you look at the fantasy points data, Stephon Diggs at 24% first read to percentage, Kayshon Booty at 14% first read percentage. The expected fantasy points for Stephon Diggs is 4 points better. No, Stephon Diggs is the better play.
What do you want to bet?
I mean, you want to put a Jersey Mike's on it?
Deal.
All right. But you know, Jersey Mike's actually, I've heard, was bought out by private equity. So I wonder if they're going to start going downhill. Like
Firehouse is better anyway.
Like,
so
like Whataburger did. All right.
Pete Terry's.
Pete Terry's isn't that good. All right. Next game here. I think we're to the afternoon now, aren't we?
Yep.
Okay. So afternoon. Let's see. So afternoon kicks off with Tampa Bay and New Orleans. New Orleans here, 4.5-point underdogs at home. 67% of the tickets are on Tampa Bay -3.5, but only 42% of the money. So weirdly, it looks like sharp bettors are probably taking the home team and the points here. Kendre Miller now out for the season. What does that mean for Alvin Kamara? Chris Olave has been on the injury report all week, but they're acting like he's going to play, coming off his relative monster game last week, although it did not come in a traditional Chris Olave volume type of role. We have Juwan Johnson, who's been questionable, but he got back into full practice participation without a green no-contact jersey on Friday. So we're expecting him to be able to go here, coming off of a big game himself. There were a lot of worries initially about Taysom Hill, but it doesn't feel like they're even using him as a tight end anymore as much as they're using him as this cockamamie kind of wildcat quarterback. It feels to me like Hill is hurting Kamara more than he's been hurting Juwan Johnson as of late. And then for Tampa, of course, you're going to play Egbuka. Of course, you got to play Rashad White. Be interested to hear if you're going back to any of this Tez Johnson or Kate Otten nonsense.
Yes. I was just double checking to see if they were going to do anything with Audric Estime. I haven't seen if there was a note or not. I think it's going to be Devin Neal most likely in that number two spot, right?
Yes.
Estime was just signed to the practice squad, so I don't really think that's going to be much of anything. Valus Jones, likewise. I think this thing completely circles around.
Well, didn't they elevate they elevated Valus Jones from off the practice squad to the 53, and then they brought on Audric Estime to the practice squad, right? Isn't that how that worked?
I read that they signed both to the practice squad. That's what the transaction wire had on Wednesday night, but that might have changed.
All right.
That might have changed since, because there was a data point that said that he was already on the practice squad too. So I don't really know, but that was the ESPN transaction wire. Anyways, Buccaneers have won 5 of the last 6 here. They've won the last 3 in New Orleans. Again, I think this number is a little bit small. I'll be interested in your guys' thoughts for this thing as far as the circa goes this weekend. Saints are 0-6 as underdogs. Tampa's 3-0 as favorites this year. As far as the Tampa side of things with Tez Johnson, I like Tez. My aggression level for Tez this week isn't as high as Butte, but I do have him as wide receiver 30. Trashman and I both are almost, you know, we're dunking on you with Tez right now. I feel good about Tez. He loves Tez.
You dunk on me. It's kind of I'll bet you Tez couldn't dunk on me. He's 5'6". all right.
I like Tez though. I think Tez is in a good spot here. And the targets that we're getting from Baker, I think Shepard's a play. I think I have Shepard as 48 this week. I think they're both. They're pukey plays. I think Shepard's a pukey play, but I think he's a good play. And then, I mean, you can just bring it back. Kate Otten. We've seen Kate Otten go 10 for 88 before. And when you're down big dogs like Evans and Godwin and Book is a little bit banged up, like you can bet on an Otten.
Yep. Let's go to the next one here. The Dallas Cowboys or the Denver Broncos. We have the Broncos here. Is it 3.5 now? What is it in the circuit contest?
Let me check here.
For some reason, I thought it was
3.
Okay, so it's going all right. So they're getting the Cowboys now are getting the hook. So if we took the +3, in that we'd be giving up a pretty important little bit of value that the market has been.
I want to stay away from this game.
Okay.
As far as the circuit goes, sorry.
83% of the tickets here are on the Cowboys plus the points, along with 92% of the money. No one's on the Broncos. And I don't know what to do in this football game. I mean, Bo Nix should have a monster here. One of the props that I put in was for Bo Nix to go higher than 36.5 for his longest completion. Now, he hasn't done that much this year, but if you look at what Dallas has done, I believe the only game that they haven't given up a completion of that length was against the Jets when I was doing the research. They've played the Jets, right? Yeah, I think it was the Jets. So the Cowboys have given up a lot of these long completions, and they have some guys who can do it between Franklin and, you know, Mims and Sutton. So I think all those guys are in play in deeper leagues. I worry a little bit about, you know, just – I was thinking about, should we just line up J.K. Dobbins for an ultimate smash here, or is this something where they might get R.J. Harvey a little bit involved? And then with the with the Dallas Cowboys side, I'm very interested to hear your thoughts here. I was just on the Blitz show. I was talking about this with Cardi and with TJ, and TJ does the show with Daigle and Reeves. And we were just talking about what they had said, what we were thinking about how the Denver defense was going to handle the wide receivers of the Cowboys. I think the smartest thing to do would be to put Pat Surtain on Pickens and then bracket CeeDee Lamb. CeeDee Lamb's been in the slot a little bit less frequently this year because that's where they play Kevontae Turpin. I think when I looked on PFF, it was 31% out of the slot this season for CeeDee Lamb. But if you put him on Pickens, you know that you're not going to have to move into the slot and do all that stuff. So do you have any thoughts about that? Are you worried at all about Lamb? I put in some stuff on Lamb in the player prop cheat sheet, assuming that it's not going to be some kind of ultimate shutdown. I also thought that Lamb looked really good last week, but I'd like to hear your thoughts on how that all works out and how that you see the fantasy actually playing out in this one.
I think these guys did have a matchup in college, Oklahoma and Alabama, when it was Lamb versus Surtain. I generally agree with you. I wonder though with I think, you know, Pickens is a little bit more of a stretch, you know, situation, I guess, or stretched, what's the word I'm looking for? I don't know. Stretch target. I would think about putting like a Riley Moss or a speed guy over there, but I get where your mind is going with that. I think he would lock Pickens down predominantly. The prop that I went for was RJ Harvey this week in receiving. I think I took the first.
Yeah, it's the first half over 5.5 receiving yards.
Was it half or quarter? I thought it was
first half.
First half, 5.5 receiving. I thought this thing popped off the screen to me.
Yeah, I like that one.
In this game, I don't know. I like Dobbins. I like Harvey. I think this game has kind of, I mean, it's not low-key shootout kind of qualities, obviously, with Dallas. But with the Denver side of the conversation, you know, they scored 33 last week in that comeback. They scored all 33 in the freaking fourth quarter. This thing could be a high-powered output. I noticed you had Trey Franklin ranked kind of aggressive, kind of like I have Tez and kind of like I have Booty. You like Franklin this week?
Yeah, it was just I just think everybody goes off against Dallas.
I think that's probably fair. Harvey, I know I brought up the prop for Harvey, but I don't feel like the best about Harvey. Dude, my computer is killing me right now. Would you play Harvey over the conversation we had earlier with the Dowdle and Hubbard?
Oh, I don't think do I have him ranked as such? I don't think I do. Let me look.
No, I mean, I asked the question because he's got a pretty juicy matchup, as does Dowdle and Chuba. But
I have Hubbard and Dowdle more like.
I know they're ranked a little bit ahead, but that's why I asked the question, because I think just like head up, if you had that situation on your roster, I think I'm going to play the two Carolina guys. But like I said before, you look at game script and how things could go sour in that Buffalo game. If Buffalo gets up early, you're looking at a lot of passing. And I think this game right here, where it's a lot of shootout, I think guys are going to score a lot of touchdowns. You think about opportunities for an RJ Harvey to actually get into the end zone. unlike a Chase Brown, but you know,
yeah. And with Harvey, I mean, it's with Harvey, we have seen, I think on the season he has had one RB1 finish. So you can, if he's going to do it again, I would say that this would be the spot to do it for sure. But I certainly like the prop that you put in the player prop cheat sheet for our premium members. I think that line seemed wrong.
All of the snaps inside the 5 yard line this year have gone to Dobbins outside of week four. So week four was the only game that Harvey got the snaps inside the 5 yard line. And in that game,
that's the week where he had 18.9 points or whatever.
Probably. Yeah, that was the game, but that was a game against the Bengals. That was a game that he got the,
this is another Bengals game.
Yeah.
So, all right. And then the final game here that we'll get to is the Tennessee Titans traveling to the Indianapolis Colts. The hapless Tennessee Titans are 14.5-point underdogs going to Lucas Oil. We have 39% of the tickets on the Titans, 44% of the money. And I can understand why. It's 14.5. It feels like too much. I'm not going to bet on Indianapolis. That doesn't mean that I'm going to bet on Tennessee here, because Tennessee, I believe, have they even won against the spread this year at all?
They are 2-5 against the spread this year.
Okay. So
they beat the spread against the damn Cardinals. That swindle.
Oh, okay. So of course. Yeah.
The swindle. And then I think in week one, they might've covered as well against the Broncos.
That's stupid.
A half a point. I think we lost on both of those.
Amari DiMarcado cost me like $1,200. I'm serious, dude. On one of these, like I had the perfect entry on one of these things, and I need him to get 7.5 PPR fantasy points just for this final leg they hit. And with the fumble that got added into the fantasy thing, it was like the run was almost enough, right? But with the fumble, it took him back down to 7.2, and he didn't do anything. It was just the most horrible suck out. But I think for this, my big deal is no Jeffrey Simmons in this game. He got ruled out today. Jonathan Taylor is about to just absolutely go ham. We always love betting on the Tyler Warren first quarter overs here. It feels like he gets the first pass every time, and he's just always wide open and turns it upfield for about a 22-yard gain. Josh Downs is back, you know, so Daniel Jones has his full complement of passers. I just think towards the end of this game, they're going to be icing this thing down, and it could be one of these deals where no Amir Abdullah this week. It could be I think there's no Amir Abdullah, right? He got ruled out. We could see one of these things with DJ Giddens at the very end, you know, handing the ball to that guy 10 times. It could be just a splattering here, but I'd be interested to hear no Calvin Ridley this week. Is there anybody you're buying into? You buying into any maybe Chim DK stuff in a come from behind mode with Tennessee? Can you play Tyjae Spears in a projected losing game script? And then what do you think about my idea to maybe get onto the cheat sheet, Tony Pollard to go under 48.5 rushing yards?
I think that's probably sound, the Tony Pollard side of that conversation. He's had a down last couple of weeks, and that's correlated with Tyjae Spears returning. To be honest with you, what I'm really looking for this week with another week of no Calvin Ridley is how Alec Amanor runs 97% of routes and scores 4.9 fantasy points and stays under 10 fantasy points for the fifth straight week, potentially.
His expected fantasy points is always like something that throws off the model so much, where he's like, dude, this model's ranking him too high.
You look at week two and three, and he scored 15 and 13.8 fantasy points, and you're like, all right, we got a guy here. And then he's out there running everything, and there's like nothing for it. But you go correlate that with back to that Colts game when they got dusted 4 for 38. He scored a touchdown in that game. That was the last time he did anything in a game that was worth consequence. So I'll be interested. I don't know. I'm interested there. Tyler Lockett's obviously now not. I mean, he's out, gone. DK feels like he's probably. I don't want to touch anything. I honestly don't want to play anything on this roster, if I'm being straight honest with you. I don't want to touch any of it. None of it. And that correlates with, let's take the Pollard under 48.5. And then you look at the other side. It's, I want Tyler Warren. I'll play Pittman. Downs is I think I have him as a back end. I want to say it without saying it. Wide receiver 3. Got him as a wide receiver 29 overall. I like Downs. The Tyler Warren prop he talked about. But man, it's the juiciest matchup of the week at the running back position. And we've got a guy that's leading the league in touchdowns right now. He's got as many rushing touchdowns as his quarterback has passing touchdowns. And you got the juiciest matchup with no Jeffrey Simmons. It's another Jonathan Taylor week, baby. Let's let the fireworks erupt at Lucas Oil Stadium.